Good evening. Thank you. I'm going to open with a couple of just two short verses. And I hope you believe that I have an important message. When I'm through, I'm hoping it was important to you. It's important to me, and I believe it's important to us as a church, as a group. I'd like to turn to the 12th chapter of Romans, those of you who would like to follow along. Even those of you who don't want to follow along, open your Bibles to the 12th chapter of Romans. Just going to read two short verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's telling us here that not only just to offer God our hearts and our souls, but also our bodies. He's telling us that we have something to do, something physical to do for Him. And it's reasonable. And it is expected of each one of us. There is no disputing it. There is no casting it aside. Each one in this room has something to do physically for the Lord. And we need to think about that and think about how we're going to prepare ourselves for that. Not only what we're going to do, I believe that the Lord is going to tell us what to do, but how to prepare ourselves for that. I believe too often in this world in which we live in, we see a lot of people who go out and act without actually preparing themselves for that act. We see it all the time. Sometimes we might even see it in our church. I'm going to read, actually, what I really want to get to, and that's in the second verse of the 12th chapter. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is our struggle. This is my struggle. This is your struggle. This is where it begins, it continues, and it ends in that second verse. We're either going to be conformed to this world or we're going to be transformed to God. And we need to think about that. You don't have to turn to it. I've already turned to it. In the Book of Mormon on page 712, I want to read, starting with the 93rd verse, doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before Him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that ye may consume it on your lust, but ask with a firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. See that ye are not baptized unworthily. See that ye partake not of the sacrament of Christ unworthily, but see that ye do all things in worthiness, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if ye do this and endure to the end, ye will in no wise be cast out. That, as individuals, is what we are up against. To be transformed and let that transformation endure to the end through the renewing of our minds in Jesus Christ. You have heard, and I have heard, excuses by people, and I have no doubt that I've used the same excuse. And I have no doubt that many of us in this room have used the same excuse. That I can serve God, I can keep His commandments, I can be a good person, I can be a Christian, and not go to church. Not attend church regularly. That's baloney. That is hogwash. That is not true. We are kidding ourselves if we believe that. I can tell you right now that if you are not attending church regularly, you are being conformed to this world. I tell you, I'm sure that they will not mind me using them as an example, will you, Carol and Frank? Yes. Yes, yes, they mind. Quite a few years ago now, our brother and sister lived in Texas, right? And it was maybe easy to not attend church regularly, right? What happened? I think I've heard Frank testify of what happens. It gets easier and easier and easier as time goes by. What happens? You become conformed to this world. You lose track of what is right, what is true, and you're no longer transformed. You were transformed when you were baptized. You were transformed when you had hands laid upon you for the Holy Ghost. But as you cease to attend, as you let it slip, it's easy. And it happens. It doesn't maybe happen. This happens. You become conformed to this world when you do not attend church services. Do you know somebody? Do you know somebody who's a Christian, who's a member of this church, who doesn't attend? Do you know what's happening? Do you know how easy it is? I know what's happening. They're slowly, slowly being conformed to this world. And you can see it happen if you'll let yourself see it happen. And maybe not slowly. Maybe quickly. And I don't want anyone here to get their backs up. I want us to be concerned for ourselves and those that we love. You know and I know that as old as Frank and Roland are, they didn't establish this church. Kenneth Smith didn't establish this church. Joseph Smith didn't establish this church. Jesus Christ established this church. And He did it for a purpose. He did it that we might continue to be transformed. He knew, and He knows what happens. When we don't regularly attend church. And I do too. Because I've let it happen to myself. How many are here right now? How many are in our congregation? How many could be? And how many should be? In the sixth chapter of Moroni, (clears throat) starting with the third verse. And there were none received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him unto the end. And after they had been received unto baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way. To keep them in the right way. To keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. You know, and probably I've said it in the past. I don't say it anymore, but I've said it in the past. You know, I haven't got a whole lot out of our church services lately. Yes, Jennifer looks shocked at me. Yes, I've said that in the past, but I don't say it anymore. I do ask myself, whose fault is that? And I don't really know for sure whose fault that is. I can maybe put some blame. But I do know this, and I know this of a surety, that there have been services that I have attended, and I trust that everyone in this room has attended, that I would give everything in this world up to be there. Everything in this world to be there. Nothing in this world was more important than what I felt at that service. I remember a testimony by our sister, and I believe it was a dream, in which she was at a church service, and she knew that Jesus Christ was in that service, was at that service. And her main concern was that her children be up front. Right at the very front. She didn't want them to miss anything. She didn't want them to miss out on that goodness. Are there those in your life that you want the same for? Because we never know. We never know. It could happen tonight. It could happen next week. We never know. You know, some 10 or 15 years ago, 13, 14, 15 years ago, we had Camp for All Ages. And I know a number of you were there. I know Bick and Diane was there. I know a lot of you were there. And it was, how can I say this, one of the most horrible Camp for All Ages I can ever remember in my life. You know why I know that? Because I was in charge. It was absolutely a disaster. My wife remembers that. It must have been 100 degrees all the time. The river was crowded. It was crowded, and it was low. You know, not only was it crowded, it was low. Canoeing was horrible. People on the river were awful. I'm not going to say the food was bad. It was just a miserable, miserable, miserable time. And I thought, I was really feeling bad. I was feeling sorry for myself. I was feeling like I sure let everybody down. And you know what happened? Bick knows what happened. Diane knows what happened. We got, I was going to say fortunate. We didn't get fortunate. We got blessed. We got blessed the last day. We went to a cave. You remember the cave? Well, I'll never forget that cave. We were fortunate enough to find a cave that they let us use, that they charged admission for, to go in. And it was cool. I mean, it was almost cold. Yeah, Sue remembers that. Don't you remember that? I remember it like it was yesterday. And we all crowded in this cave, kind of an amphitheater with dirt banks that led down, and everybody put their trash bags down, and we sat on the trash bags, and all of a sudden it happened. It happened. It was worth all the horrible times before, the Friday and the Saturday and the everything. And it made it what I think was the best camp for all ages I ever attended in my life. At one time. And I wouldn't have missed that moment for a second, for anything. I know Vic and I had a horrible time trying to serve sacrament, because it was awful trying to get around in there. And then it happened. We had young people standing up, bearing testimonies. We had strangers standing up, bearing testimonies, feeling the Spirit, crying, because evidently they had never felt that before. My kids were there. I was there. I wish everyone could have been there. Why do we attend church services? Why is it important to attend church services? That reason. That we can continue to be transformed. I was transformed. Everyone that attended that service was renewed in their minds and in their hearts. That was the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You can look back and pick out the times. Pick out the times that, oh man, I was glad I was there. Oh, I wouldn't have missed that. One after the other. I'll go down memory lane. I remember it happening in Phoenix. When it just so happens all my children were there, I think, with Steve there. The 5-hour service. You remember the 5-hour service? They're all 5-hour services in Phoenix though, aren't they? Yeah, they're all 5-hour services in Phoenix. It was the service in which Glenn Orsted stood up and bore his testimony about the ordeal in the hospital. If you all remember that. I remember that. I don't know how many were there. I remember that like yesterday. And I remember it because after 5 hours, and the place was full of kids, after 5 hours, everyone stood up and remarked, this couldn't have been 5 hours. Even the kids. Nobody got up and left the service. Everybody was afraid to leave the service. Not because the ones in charge were mean, it's because they didn't want to miss that Spirit and that transformation that happened to us at that time. So why aren't our pews full? Why aren't we more concerned? Do you want your loved ones to feel that and to have that? That first verse I read, it says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, to do something, to do whatever it takes to have our church full. And not just to fill our church. So when those things happen, those rare moments, and they're not so rare, but when those moments happen, everyone can participate in it and feel it and be uplifted by it. I'm going to turn to Second Peter, the third chapter. I'm going to start with the 9th verse, and I don't want to scare anybody, but this is going to happen. This is going to happen. The The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And if you're conformed to this world, you'll be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwell righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. You know what that is? That's transformed. Transformed. Transformed to the desires of Jesus Christ. Where does it start? Where does it start? Why did Jesus Christ establish his church? Why did he command us to attend it always, regularly, as often as it's convened? Why did he do that? Any of us, and all of us, can and will slip away. I don't care who you are in this Church of Christ. I don't care how long you have been attending, how long you have been a member. I don't care if you're a lay member or an apostle. If you are not making the effort to be in services where we pray for His Spirit to be, you are going to conform to the world. I want to turn to Alma. That's not Alma. Nevertheless, the children of God were commanded that they should gather themselves together oft, and join in mighty prayer, join in fasting and mighty prayer in behalf of the welfare of the souls of those who knew not God. A commandment. To be transformed to the desires of Jesus Christ. When we pray for those who know not God, we are transformed to the desires of Jesus Christ. It begins and it ends with us. and the choices we make. For ourselves, for those we love, for those we're concerned with. And we have but two choices. There are only two. There's nothing in between. And I want you to think about that. That you and those you love and those you are concerned about are either going to be confirmed and conformed to this world, or they're going to be, and you're going to be, transformed. Jesus Christ told us where we should be. He promised us what will happen in His services. And everyone in this room has been a recipient. Now is the time. Now is the time for this Church of Christ, East Local, to become missionary-minded with our own people, with our own loved ones, who is here, who could be, and who should be. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve, for that important message. For announcements, we now have two needy, two families for Thanksgiving, one mother and three teenagers, and another family that has one mother and three little boys. So it's time to start bringing food for the needy family. Women's department has nuts for sale, so just talk to one of the ladies for that. Could we use hymn number 181 for our closing song, 181?